you pray with me? Oh, Lord God, gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the ways that you have given to us. Allow us, as we have received, as we have been served by your Son, Jesus Christ, to find ways to meet other needs, to give freely of what we have received and to serve. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're on week three of our Living the Five, and we've talked about how you can't do life alone. We need to be a part of this body of Christ as baptized brothers and sisters in our Lord. Last week we talked about how growing people change. It's just what happens. And then as we talk about our own relationship with Jesus, saved, washed clean by Jesus, we serve. Saved people serve people. But I think this is hard in the world that we live in today. I've heard our world described today as a dog-eat-dog world, all right? You know, it's like everybody's looking out for themselves, for numero uno. And, you know, when you're looking out for yourself, you're always concerned, well, will I have enough? Or what about me? Who's going to look out for me? And so this whole idea of service goes against the way that we often hear in this world. Instead of looking out for ourselves, God tells us you should look out for the interests of others first. And so I think the key issue here is instead of living for ourselves, God wants us to live to serve others. That's what God has given us to do as his followers, as believers in Jesus Christ. The greatest commandment, we've been saying it every Sunday at the beginning of our service. Jesus tells us to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. But the second part, this is what we're focusing on today, to love your neighbor as yourself. That's what we're talking about here. When we're talking about save people, serve people, it's taking this commandment to love one another as ourselves. It's putting this into practice. It's doing ministry. It's caring for the people that God has placed around us. Love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus himself set an example for us in our gospel reading. Do you remember what he did in that upper room on the night that Jesus was betrayed? What did Jesus do? He washed his disciples' feet. He took the role of a servant, took out his outer garment, got down and washed his disciples' cracked, muddy, dirty feet. And Jesus says, if you do likewise, you will be blessed. And so not only, you know, God wants us to do this, but Jesus attaches a promise to this that if we serve others, Jesus says, if we serve in the same way he has served us, we will be blessed. For Jesus himself came to earth to serve. His greatest act of service was his death on the cross. Because he knew that the only way that we could stay in fellowship with God was to have our sins removed, to have those things that separate us from him paid for and wiped clean. And so Jesus served us by ultimately giving up his life, by dying for us on the cross. That was Jesus' greatest act of service. That whole time he wasn't thinking about, is this going to be fun? You know, he wasn't thinking about, am I going to enjoy this? Who was he thinking of as he died on that cross? Us. You and me. And the amazing thing is, did Jesus stay dead? No. What happened on the third day? God exalted his son who was humbled, his son who was treated as a criminal, his son who from the cross said, Father, forgive them. They don't understand what they're doing. God exalted his son. And so sometimes we might say, well, I don't want to serve them. They won't recognize it. They won't acknowledge it. Should that make any difference in our service? No. We serve because we're saved by Jesus Christ. And so I want to talk about today a specific passage that Jesus shared with his disciples from the Gospel of Mark. Jesus was walking along the road with his disciples, and he was kind of ahead, maybe chatting with one or two, but back in the back of the group, they were talking about which of them is the greatest. All right. Have you ever had this discussion with your friends, or you know, you're maybe on the football team or basketball team? Who's the greatest? And some of the other gospel says, who's going to be at Jesus' right and his left? They thought Jesus was going to be king, and they wanted to be right up there with him. And so they were debating, who is the greatest? And Jesus responded by saying, instead, whoever wants to become great among you must become your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so Jesus says, whoever wants to be great must become a what? A servant or a slave. And so we're going to look at these two words for servant here. I'll have to admit to you, on my laptop, I have a Bible work, so it's pretty Greek. Those red words are right up here. Our sanctuary laptop, I forgot, doesn't have that. So the words are on your piece of paper if you want to follow along. We're going to look at these two words for servant. The first one is diakonos, and the other one is doulos. And so we're going to talk about what do these mean. So the first word for slave, diakonos, is a word for servant or a deacon or minister. One of the great kind of ways of me thinking about this is that if you've ever been to a nice restaurant and you sit down and you have someone that comes and serves you at your table, they take your order, they fill your drinks, they make sure that you have everything that you need, okay? Have you ever had a dinner where they weren't so good about that? Where you're like, all right, I'm thirsty, I just want another drink, or they got their order wrong and never got resolved. You know, what makes a big difference in our life is the service that we received. And so this word for deacon, we can think of it as waiter. Someone who's really focused on what is their need, even to the point where they anticipate it, all right? I know they're going to finish their drink soon. I'm going to bring some more water. Or I know that they're done with the salad, so I'm going to make sure that the meal is ready just at the right time. And so this word for deacon, for minister, for servant, is what we're called to be. Jesus used this word again that he says, whoever serves me must follow me, that wherever I am, my servant will also be. For my Father will honor the one who serves me. And so Jesus calls us into a life of service, following him, serving as he did for us. One of the greatest missionaries in the New Testament was Saul. After he had this, he persecuted the church for a while. He was against the church. He wasn't serving the church, but he was trying to destroy it. But traveling from Jerusalem to Damascus to arrest some early Christians, Jesus met him. And with a bright light and a voice, he said, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul was blinded and through this conversion experience came to believe that Jesus was Lord. Paul spent the rest of his life serving God, going through all sorts of hardships that he considered them as a blessing in comparison to the opportunity to serve, to share the message of Jesus Christ. And so Saul was able to write, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given through me through the working of his power. And so Paul says, the greatest thing I can do, the greatest thing I can share is the gospel, is the good news of Jesus Christ. And so Paul went throughout the Middle East and he shared the good news of Jesus Christ that he had received from the Lord. And so how do we become a good servant? You think about a good waiter, right? You focus on the needs of others. You have eyes wide open with compassion. If you see someone with a need, you say, well, what can I do? What difference can I make? There's a great saying here. Can you say this with me? Find a hurt and heal it. Find a need and fill it. If you woke up every day and had this phrase in your head, would it make a difference? Find a hurt and heal it. Find a need and fill it. You might be thinking, if I woke up with that verse, I'd be overwhelmed every day, all right? Just looking out to this world, there's so much. And sometimes I think we are overwhelmed. In today's society, we hear all this news and all these disasters and all these hurting people. But I believe that in your life, the people that you work with, the people that you go to school with, the people that you interact with, there's hurting people. There's people with real needs that God has placed you in their life that by your service, you might show them the service that Christ gave to them. And so my challenge for you is to wake up every day and think these words. Find a hurt and heal it. Find a need and feel it. That's what Diane Levan has been doing with this whole trip to Baton Rouge. I don't know if you can see this picture, but over 100,000 homes are like this, all right? Or they're like this now, okay? Everything they have is underwater. And now they're just throwing it out, tearing out drywall, putting new on. And of course, this happens in a place where it's not a floodplain, so they don't have flood insurance, so they're doing all of this on their own. And so I think that's why it's so important, why Diane says, there's a need. And why when Pastor Buss said, hey, Diane, can you do a furniture drive like you did for New Orleans? She said, oh. But she said, there's a need. Got to do something. And so October 13th through the 16th, there's a whole little flyer in your bulletin of furniture and things that they're looking for. If you have anything sitting around home, think about it, pray about what you might be able to share with people in their time of need, that Talmadge Lutheran Church can be a way that God serves the people who have nothing. The second part of the verse of Jesus is he says, whoever wants to be first must become a slave, a doulos of all. And so in this New Testament, a slave, another word for that is a bond servant. Back in Jesus' day, this isn't something we're familiar with. When we think of slave, we think of someone who maybe was taken from their country and forced into slavery. In Jesus' day, a bond servant was someone who owed a debt, and one of the ways that you could pay off a debt was to become a bond servant, that each day you served, each day you worked, you would be paying off your debt. Well, there were some bond servants that even after they had worked and that they were free, they had paid their bond price, they said, I kind of like my master. I kind of like his family. I kind of like this. I probably am better off here than I would be on my own. And they can declare, I want to remain your servant. And so as a bond servant who had paid their debt, who had chosen to continue to serve, their master would take an awl and put a hole in their ear, right? Kind of disgusting, but that would mark them as someone who has chosen to continue to be a servant. And so Jesus calls us to be a bond servant, a slave for the gospel. Some things about slaves as we think about this, about bond servants, is they don't do their own thing. All right, they're obedient and working under the direction of their master. So often I think in our own lives we like to do our own thing. But when it comes down to it, as a Christian, who are we living for? Whose direction are we taking? Who's the Lord of our life? God is. And so we want to serve God, to follow Him, to love Him. Or as Paul says, I am a slave, a servant of the gospel. Another thing about slaves, especially bond servants, is that they were committed for life. Once they chose to serve, for the rest of their life, they would be a part of this family. They would be a servant in this household. And for us, at the time of our baptism, God has claimed us. You know, what we do with that, how committed are we throughout our lives? And so I think for us, we examine ourselves. Am I living for myself, or am I committed to serving God? The last thing is that slaves would not receive any recognition for what they did. They were just doing what they were told to do. And for us, as sharers of the gospel, as servants under Jesus Christ, we aren't doing it for ourselves. We're doing it for God, that He gets all the glory. And so I know you can hear this. I know you've heard this before. But why is serving people so important? I think especially in today, because our actions speak louder than our words. In today's world, people are used to getting preached at. And it's really easy to tune out words. But when we stop and we care, when we stop and we serve, when we stop and fill a need or heal a hurt, people notice. And as we do that, God sometimes gives us opportunities to speak into their lives, to share the hope that we have, because actions speak louder than our words. I think that's why the cross is so important. You might hear and read in the Bible that God loves you, right? But when you look at the cross, how much does God love you? Jesus spread out his arms and said, "This much." For God, too, his actions speak louder than his words. So one last thought today I want to leave you with is how many of you have ever taken a cruise? Any of you? A few of you? I have not yet. I want to. All right. My parents have, and they had an amazing time. But when you're on a cruise, what's the purpose of a cruise? Eat. What else? Relax. Sightsee. Swim. Be entertained. Be entertained, right? You're just going there to relax, to have all your needs taken care of. If you leave your room a mess, guess what happens? Somebody else picks it up for you. All right. It's wonderful. It sounds wonderful, okay? And so the cruise ship is about you, all right? About you and enjoying. What about a battleship? Has anybody ever served on a battleship? I know I talked to Harry Kepler, all right? He served on a submarine, a little one, all right? And I asked him about that, and he says, what if you don't do your job? He said, I do my job. There's no ands, ifs, or buts. What if the food doesn't taste good? You eat it, all right? Too bad. Is there sleeping in? If you make a mess, well, you clean it up. And so if you don't do your part, what happens to the team? It all suffers. And so my question for you today is as you come to Talmadge Lutheran Church, are we a cruise ship or are we a battleship? Right? I would say that there's work to be done. All right? As much as, you know, we come to be fed, we want to go to serve. And so there's great power in coming together on a Sunday morning. But I think every one of us, if we're not doing what God has called us to do, if we're just sitting in the bleachers and sitting in the stands and not getting in the field, not getting in part of the play, not being a part of the small groups, the whole body, the whole ship, the whole body of Christ suffers. And that's why it's so important that each one of us serves one another, serves the people that God has placed around us. So together, may we serve one another in love as Jesus has done for us. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, thank you for serving us. Thank you for filling us with your Spirit, that our eyes may be open to the needs of others. Lord, when we see a hurt, give us the strength and the Spirit to heal it. When we see a need, O Lord, help us to respond in compassion and Lord, fill it. As we're able, Lord, allow us to use what you have given us, what we have received, to serve, to give, to set free, to point others to Jesus. May our actions speak louder than our words. We pray this in Jesus' name, and all God's people said.